Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Eliana Johnson, Washington Bureau Chief of National Review, in for Jim Garrity today. I kid you not, Jim Garrity was a late scratch today because the local school district closed because it was cold. Not the snow. It was cold. They actually left them open on the day it snowed. Anyway, good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual. And Eliana, all of them deal with the horrific terrorist attack on the offices of Charlie Hebdo in Paris yesterday. And we start, oddly enough, with Bill Maher in the good martini. He was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. He's also well known for, in addition to his all his annoying liberal opinions, being quite harsh on tolerance for the intolerance of many radical Muslims. And so he was talking last night on the Jimmy Kimmel Show about how liberals need to stand up for their liberal ideas all the time. And here's what he said.
I'm the liberal in this debate. Okay, I'm for free speech. To be a liberal, you have to stand up for liberal principles. It's not my fault that the part of the world that is most against liberal principles is the Muslim part of the world. There have been studies. We have facts on this. Treatment of women. They studied 130 different countries. 17 of the bottom 20 were Muslim countries. In 10 Muslim countries, you can get the death penalty just for being gay. They chop heads off in the square in Mecca. Well, Mecca is their Vatican City. If they were chopping the heads off of Catholic gay people, wouldn't there be a bigger outcry among liberals?
So, Eliana, not that we want to put Bill Maher in the good martini probably too often, but this is an issue that he's actually been pretty vocal on for a long time. And it is telling that there's finally someone out there on the left telling others on the left that you can't distance the attackers from the motivation as often as it seems to be happening.
This really isn't a matter, as Bill Maher says, though, of standing up for liberal principles. It's a matter of prioritizing liberal principles. And Bill Maher is merely prioritizing the principle of free speech, which liberals and I would say most Americans believe in, over another principle that liberal Democrats hold dear, which is that all cultures, all religions, all people are of equal value. And what we see, and what Bill Maher has said, that many Muslims are cheering these attacks and are happy that there are religious extremists blowing up magazines and cartoonists that depict the Prophet Muhammad in ways they find offensive, suggests that religions are not all equal, that cultures are not all equal. And that is what most liberals have a very hard time admitting, and they are unwilling to sacrifice their belief that the Muslim religion is not equal to all others.
Eliana, it goes obviously in all political directions. There are certain things that people don't like, but they respect the freedom of speech, a freedom of expression. But when that principle collides with the other liberal ideal of political correctness, that's where they kind of find themselves at a weird crossroads, it seems.
Exactly. And Bill Maher is merely saying that free speech is the most important principle to him, and that's what he's sticking up for. And he has really the courage to say, hey, guys, the truth is that this other principle that you've been touting for so long simply isn't true. And that's what many liberals simply aren't willing to do. So I don't think it's quite as simple as standing up for liberal principles.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And on that same line, the reaction of some media outlets was very odd. You had one official from the Financial Times saying, well, they had all these horrific, offensive cartoons, so they kind of had it coming to them. Then you had the New York Daily News saying they were going to blur the cartoons. The AP decided to completely wipe the images of the cartoons off of their archives. Cable news networks, interestingly, even as some of them had guests talking about how important it was to publish these things and defend free speech, all pretty much decided not to show them. So over on CNN, Fareed Zakaria essentially accepting the premise that either you defend free speech all the way or you risk getting people killed.
You know, unfortunately, it would be nice to say it's not going to work. It shouldn't work. But the reality is that it will have a chilling effect. It already has had a chilling effect. And these are difficult decisions that news organizations now have to make, that magazines will have to make, because yes, of course you believe in freedom of speech, but do you also want to put lives at risk? Particularly, it's one thing to put your own life at risk, you're putting other people's at risk. And so it is, unfortunately, going to have a chilling effect. I think there's no way around it.
Eliana, as a member of the media, this basic choice that he's saying everyone has to accept of either free speech or the lives of the people you work for, it's almost as if it's a given that, well, if you exercise free speech and you offend people, well, then you're probably going to be targeted at some point. That seems to be missing some of the responsibility here.
Well, what Fareed laid out was exactly what the intended result of the attack was, which is to chill speech and expression. And the response of many outlets to publish the cartoons was a rejection of that. Fareed, of course, isn't entirely wrong that the publication of these cartoons has gotten lots of people killed. But I think the point that outlets were making by publishing them is that if everybody continues to do it, everybody is equally at risk. Whereas if everybody starts censoring and very few outlets do it, those outlets are singularly at risk of coming under attack. So it's not quite so simple.
What's been the general discussion, I guess, at National Review? I don't know that a lot of people have decided to publish these either in print format or online, but what's the general thinking there?
I think what you've really seen across the media is that legacy media outlets, the New York Times, the Washington Post, in their news coverage, they have censored them. Lots of legacy television networks and new media like BuzzFeed and online outlets, they have publish the cartoons. We are anti-censorship at National Review.
All right. On to the Crazy Martini now. And why wouldn't MSNBC end up in the Crazy Martini as we talk about this story? Now, hosted by Alex Wagner, had a couple of guests on talking about this, one of whom was Eric Bates, the former executive editor of Rolling Stone. Yes, the same one that put one of the Zarnaev brothers on the cover and, of course, was behind the rape culture University of Virginia story that has been debunked on multiple levels over the past several weeks. Nonetheless, Mr. Bates decided to make an interesting comparison between the slaughter of cartoonists and police officers in Paris to the Christian right in this country. Here was his explanation and his analogy.
This isn't just Islamic extremism. If you go back to the 80s during the Reagan administration, when Jerry Falwell sued Hustler magazine for portraying him having, I believe it was drunken incest with his mother in an outhouse, again in a visual form, and won a $150,000 court case against Hustler for that, that was overturned by the Supreme Court, I think 8-0. So, you know, religious fundamentalists of all stripes and of all nationalities have this penchant to say, we want to be able to tell you what you can and can't portray.
So killing 12 people and taking someone to court are apparently morally equivalent over at MSNBC, Eliana.
As if Rolling Stone really needs more bad press right now. But it's just absurd to compare filing a lawsuit over something with blowing somebody up who you don't agree with. It's completely absurd. And I would add that the professor of Middle East Studies, Juan Cole, was comparing Sarah Palin to the perpetrators of this attack. So this guy is not alone.
Where does this go then? Do you think based on Bill Maher, some of this changes in the liberal media compared to what we just saw and heard from MSNBC? Or do you think that whenever this happens again, if this happens again, that we'll basically get this same type of reaction based on different ideology?
I have to say, I think that we're approaching a critical mass of people realizing this is really a problem. And as Bill Maher suggested, confronting a painful truth, liberals confronting a painful truth that, hey, we've got a problem with this particular religion.
Something tells me we'll be addressing this again fairly soon, unfortunately, and perhaps it'll be just a dialogue following this latest tragedy. But if the last several weeks are any indication, we may be talking about more lives lost sooner rather than later. Eliana, unfortunately, the news is all pretty disappointing and depressing, but thank you.
Except for Jim's kids got to stay home because it's 20 degrees.
Exactly right. You have a great day, though. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day, Greg.
Eliana Johnson, Washington Bureau Chief for National Review. In for Jim Garrity today, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us. Jim and I will be back on Friday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.